I'd like to read four sections of scripture tonight, but they're all quite short. And the first one is in Acts chapter 25. Acts of the Apostles in chapter 25. And we'll start at verse 23. On the morrow, therefore, Agrippa being come, and Bernice, with great pomp, and having entered into the hall of audience with the Chiliarchs and the men of distinction of the city, and Festus having been given command, Paul was brought. And then in the next chapter, verse 25. But Paul said, I am not mad, most excellent Festus, but utter words of truth and soberness. For the king is informed about these things, to whom also I speak with all freedom. For I am persuaded that of these things nothing is hidden from him, for this was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a little thou persuadest me to become a Christian. And then in the epistle to Timothy, second epistle to Timothy, and chapter 1, and verse 12. For which cause, that is for the preaching of the glad tidings, for which cause I also suffer these things, but I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. Then in the third chapter of the same book, and verse 12, all indeed who desire to live piously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, but wicked men and juggling impostors shall advance in evil, leading and being led astray. But thou, abide in those things which thou hast learned, and of which thou hast been fully persuaded, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And then the final scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 9 of John's Gospel, John 9 and verse 24. They called therefore a second time the man who had been blind, and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is sinful. He answered, therefore, if he is sinful, I know not. One thing I know, that being blind before, now I see. I want to speak to you from these scriptures tonight about being fully persuaded. You know, there is so much going on in the world at the present time that would seek to knock us off course, would seek to challenge and doubt, bring in doubts. And the gospel is to confirm to us that there's a rock that's as sure and firm as it could possibly be. And it's a foundation for whosoever will. And I want you to know that if everything around looks like it's shifting sand, well, it is. But there's a rock that never moves. And I want you to be fully persuaded in faith tonight that that rock is available to you as an anchor for your soul in the midst of stormy seas and the world around. That there's something that's never going to move. The love and faithfulness of God towards you. And I want you to be absolutely sure in the gospel tonight that you know about it. So I read from these scriptures tonight. In Acts, there's a man who was almost persuaded. Almost. That's no good, you know. In Timothy, in the first scripture that I read, Paul writes to him and he says, I am persuaded that there is one who's able to keep the deposit I've entrusted to. And when you come to that second scripture, he says, hold fast to the things in which you've been fully persuaded. Oh, but you say, I've been coming to the meetings and I've heard these things many, many times. Friend, I want you in the gospel tonight just to listen for a few moments to make sure that you're absolutely founded and absolutely and fully persuaded in the things concerning my Saviour. And your Saviour too, I hope. But I don't know, but God knows, and so do you. And tonight, I want you to be fully persuaded in the things concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. In the last scripture, well, the word persuaded isn't used. But there's a man who was persuaded. And he says, there's one thing I know. One thing. I want to ask you at the end of the gospel tonight, if there was one thing that I asked you about the gospel preaching tonight and every other night that you may have listened to it, what would you say? One thing I know. What do you know? Well, you say, a lot of it goes over my head. Well, don't worry about that. That happens for most of us. But is there one thing that you know that relates to my Saviour and yours in the glory? The man who came here to meet my needs and yours. And he's a wonderful Saviour. You know, he gave his life, a perfect life, and he gave it up for me. Why should he do that? He did it because he was committed to his Father's will. Because he knew that it was the only way that I could find salvation. It was the only way that I could be fully persuaded that I've got a home in heaven. And one day I'll be there. The gospel's preached tonight to make sure you'll be there too. But I wanted first, in this scripture in the Acts from which I read, to read to you of this courtroom. It wasn't a room like this before which Paul could present the gospel. There wasn't a sympathetic audience. No, you just think about it, you know. You've been asked to speak. You've been asked to speak about Jesus. And you know that the audience that's going to be there is pretty hostile. And I read that first verse because it just seemed to me to paint the picture for me of what this scene was like that Paul faced. It says that Agrippa, the king, came, and his wife Bernice, great pomp, audience with the chiliarchs and men of distinction in the city, all waiting there to criticize, all waiting there to find fault. And Paul opens his mouth and he speaks and he tells them about his experience and he tells them about Jesus and he tells them about his conversion and he tells them about God's love and God's faithfulness. And as he does so, when he comes towards the end, he's challenged as to what he says. And there, you picture it, there's the king sitting in all his pomp and cloaks, probably. There he is with the governor of the land there beside him. And he's challenged as to what he said in the gospel. Oh, friend. If I could convey to your heart tonight the truth of the Saviour of sinners who has died for me and has given me hope and joy and salvation that is beyond anything that this world can offer. Sure, look at the attempts of the politicians in the present day
to bring about peace. And they don't realize that a day is coming soon when the Prince of Peace himself will come to this earth. And the love of the Lord will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. Isn't it amazing? What changes will take place? All the problems that the politicians wrestle with today, and all will be resolved by the man who was crucified at Calvary. The man who was rejected there. The man of sorrows. The one who was acquainted with grief. He'll come in his glory. And the earth will have the effects on it. And the glory of the Lord will be known by everyone. I want to speak to you tonight. You're there in that hall. You're giving that address. And you're invited to speak to the King. And that's what Paul does. And he says, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? He would have known the prophets, all right? He would have known what they'd said. We spoke this afternoon a little bit about some of the Old Testament prophets that prophesied in relation to the gospel going out to the Gentiles. That is, to you and me, to whosoever will. There it is, embedded in the Old Testament. He says to King Agrippa, you know the prophets. You know what they said. Do you not believe them? He says, I know you do. And Agrippa said to Paul, in a little. Oh, those words. In a little. That persuades me to become a Christian. So near. An opportunity brought to him there to declare publicly before so many that were there that would have witnessed. If only the King Agrippa had come out and said, I believe. What a testimony it would have been. But in weakness he says, in a little, or it can be rendered almost, thou persuadest me to become a Christian. Look, I don't suppose there's anybody in this room tonight who is in the position that King Agrippa was in. You're certainly not as well known as he would have been. But there's this I want to say to you. Don't think that because you come to the gospel preaching to hear the message of salvation, that you're saved. It's not coming through those doors that saves you. It's having to do with the Saviour personally. And I thank God that he had to do with me and I had to do with him in regard to my sins. And I can tell you now that those sins, every one of them, have been washed away in the precious blood of Jesus. God called to me, like was prophesied in Isaiah in chapter 1. Come now, and let's reason together. Oh, but you say you don't know what my sins have been. I don't want to know. I don't need to know. God knows them. But what he knows too, is that you can come to him tonight, and that the precious blood of Jesus has cleansed you from your sins, that you can be as white as snow. Though your sins be like crimson, doesn't it say? They shall be as wool. Oh, how wondrous the work of Christ is, you know. And that we can see it traced through the Old Testament. You come to Isaiah 53 and you find a man there who was despised and rejected of men. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. That's the one whom I present in the gospel to you. A firm and sure foundation that amidst all the shifting sand that's around us in the present day, there's an anchor for our souls. And there's one in whom we can trust, whose love will never change. He's always the same. Oh friend, will you say almost persuaded? Will you say in a little? When the scripture says so clearly, now is the accepted time and now is the day of salvation.
This message is for you today. If you've never had to do with Jesus, you can come to him now. Leave out the inner little. Leave out the almost. Just come to Christ today if you've never come before. And there will be wonderful blessings for you in your Christian way here. Well, now I come to the addresses to Timothy. And I just want to say to you that what's in view here is something that's been entrusted, something that Paul had, that was valued to him, that he'd entrusted it to the one who was going to carry it into the future day. And I want to ask you this simple question. Whatever you may have accumulated in this world, how much of it are you going to take with you into eternity? What have you got that's going to endure the power of death? What have you got that will carry through with you as eternal treasure that will be yours forever, that no one can ever take away? What have you got? Have you got the knowledge of the Saviour who loved you and gave himself for you? Have you got the knowledge of him? Are you trusting in that Saviour? Have you got something that is precious, that is going to be with you forever? Because you know the Lord said in John 15:14, he said, I go to prepare you a place. Now you think of that. There's a place for you in heaven. But it can't be yours unless you've trusted in the Saviour. Unless you've known what it is for your sins to be forgiven. You've known what it is to be cleansed through the precious blood of Christ. But if you know what it is, you can be persuaded. Oh, friend, it's not the preacher that persuades you. It's God's word that persuades you. And here it is. I am persuaded that he is able to keep for that day the deposit I have entrusted to him. The hope of salvation, the knowledge of the Saviour, precious things that as you read the Bible, they've come home to your souls and that soul, and they've been like treasure to you, things that you'll carry with you forever. You get to my age and you find that you forget most things, but there's certain things you never do. And one of those things is the knowledge of Christ as the Saviour, that he's precious to you, and he'll be precious to you in time. When you take your place that's been prepared for you, you lay hold of it because by faith you know that forgiveness has been extended towards you as you've come in true repentance to God and you've owned him as your own personal Saviour and your own need of him as a personal Saviour. And you come to him and you realise that there's nobody like him. He's a man who's beyond compare. He suffered and died on Calvary's cross to take your sins away. Oh, how great those sufferings. We can never measure how great those sufferings were. The sorrows were his and his alone, but he went that way because of his love for you and me. And tonight, that blessed Saviour is appealing to each one of us that we might have this blessed assurance, just as Fanny Crosby had in relation to that hymn. Blessed assurance, she could say. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. That's it. She had a deposit that she'd entrusted to Christ. That when she's called up to glory, and when she was called up to glory, there's something that she would carry through with her that would be hers and hers forever. When I come to the last point, scripture in Timothy, I want to give you this because I know that many, if not all tonight, are trusting in the precious work of Jesus. But I want to tell you this as well. All who desire to live piously in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. No question as to that. If you're not experiencing any persecution from others, well, are you living piously for Christ? Are you really trusting him and being faithful to him in the scene of his absence? Or, Paul says, will be persecuted. But then it says, but thou, and that's what I wanted to copy for a moment, but thou, abide in those things which thou hast learned. That's important. Abide in those things which have come home to you in your own soul experience. It may not be very much. It may be that you're just young at the Christian pathway. Or it may be you're older. How much have we accumulated of treasure that we're taking with us to heaven? What do we know of something by way of soul experience with Christ? What does he mean to us? Our personal relationships with him, our knowledge of his love, our knowledge of what he has done. Oh friend, how often do we thank him for that wondrous work at Calvary when he washed our sins away? How often do we bless him for the work that was completed? Those words announced on the cross, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. In the face of crucifying the Lord of glory, yes. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. What words of grace they are. But oh, the triumph too. It is finished. There upon the cross. The work done. Everything completed according to the will of God. Blessing flows out to whosoever will. Yes, Jews and Gentiles. Everybody. And that goes right through to the last chapter of Revelation. The grace and love of God that extends to you tonight. How wonderful it is. It's for you to embrace. It's for you to take hold of. And then, like Paul here, he can speak of the treasure that is his. And he can say, I'm fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I love that. What it is, you know, amidst all the doubts and fears that there are in the world today, all the criticisms of Christianity, all the questions, fully persuaded that you've got something that can never be taken away. Paul says, doesn't he, in the epistle to the Romans, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, that we might know what it is to have something that we're carrying through with us to glory. And it's all the result of what Jesus has done on the cross. And he's done it for you. And he was going to do it too for this man in John 9. I just wanted to read of him. Because sometimes, you know, we can feel that what we've got is pretty small. Sometimes we feel that we read things and 5 minutes later we've forgotten them. But here was a man who could say, well, I don't understand everything, but one thing I know. Now look, do you know for certain that Jesus is your Savior? Have you asked him to be your Savior? Have you asked him to help you to trust him? And told him about your sins. They may not be awful sins like we hear of so frequently. But sins, just one, is enough to bar you from the presence of God eternally. There's only one way. Is to come to Jesus now. In repentance for your sins. You don't have to remember them all. I certainly couldn't. And then it would be a long list if I could. But one thing I know is that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses from every sin. Every sin. Or all sin, as our translation says. But it could be either. You think of that. That God knows our hearts. God is a holy God and a righteous God. He cannot have sin in his presence. But a scripture like that, a verse of scripture is inserted to persuade us that we might be fully persuaded, that we might have the blessed assurance that everything has been dealt with according to the will of God. And we can declare we're saved from our sins because Jesus has done it. He's set us free. He's given us a hope and a peace that is beyond things here. And it stands. And it stands for eternity. Now, what will you carry through with you? Will you carry through the knowledge of a Saviour who has washed your sins away? And I want to make sure that you do. Even tonight, as we go out through the doors, you know, maybe there's another week in front of us. What will happen this week? What things will take place? We can't be sure. But we can be sure that we've got an anchor for our souls in Christ. Because we've been fully persuaded by the love of God that has gone to such tremendous depths at Calvary in order that we might be redeemed and that our sins might be completely washed away. And tonight I commend God's love to you. May God bless the word for his name.
Amen.